Is your website pretty? Does it work right? Can people find it? If you answered no or kinda to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the first Mind Your Business podcast. I'm Mark Boyd. Glad to be here with you, and I got to say thank you to David Atwood, my favorite voice of all time, for making us sound just that much cooler on our intros here. I appreciate you listening today, and the purpose of this podcast is to help you. You have questions about the development of your website, questions about the design of your website, questions about SEO, how to get your website found, what you should be doing on social media. Make sure you click that button over to your right that says ask a question. We want your questions. It's that simple. Some of you are paying an SEO or a web development, web design company and just want to know more about what you're dealing with. And some of you are doing it yourself. Fire away with your questions. That's what we're here for, and that's what we're going to be addressing today. Although, I got a burning SEO issue, and that is, if you remember nothing else from the podcast today, remember, SEO is not a spectator sport. SEO is not a spectator sport. It's not just a matter of optimizing on your website anymore, which is still very important. It's not just a matter of getting links anymore, which is still important. Google has really downplayed that over the years, but even Matt Cutts has said in videos that, and you can go on YouTube, you can find these things, they're all over the place. He's even admitted that Google can't truly determine the value of a page without factoring links into the picture. Now, the problem is, over the years, links have been overused. They have what are called link wheels. And if you don't know what a link wheel is, I'll make it very simple for you. You've got a website, and you decide, links are very, very important. So if I want Google or whatever search engine to rank my website higher, then I'm going to create a bunch of bullshit websites, and I'm going to have them all linking back to my site, because those sites don't really matter. What matters is getting links from the sites. Well, if any of you are doing this now, or if you have an SEO that's doing this, please stop. Google caught on to this years ago, and if you haven't been penalized for it yet, which you probably have if you were doing it, but if you haven't been penalized for it yet, that's a time bomb right there. The only legitimate way to get links is through actually writing good content and submitting it to other websites. It's a time-consuming process. But the thing that you've got to learn about this, and this goes back to what I said at first, SEO is not a spectator sport anymore. You can't just do some optimization on your site and think, oh, I'm going to be fine. You have to lay the foundation. If your site is not well optimized, then your other efforts off-site are not going to really work well. Conversely, if you optimize your site well and you're not active off-site, then the search engines look at you as somebody who does not care. Okay, great, I've got a website up here. Everybody come find me. We all know that's not how it works, especially not now. Maybe years ago you could get away with it. But I got three words for you. Social semantic web. Now, I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of geek speak, because I know that if I try to wow you with my technical verbiage, my geek speak prowess, you're all going to be glazed over, and you're not going to remember the next 10-15 minutes of this podcast anyway. And I'd be wasting your time. In simple terms, social semantic web means your social interaction matters, and it is factored into the algorithms. That's all you need to know about that. It doesn't mean that Facebook is the be-all, end-all. It doesn't mean that Google Plus is the be-all, end-all. But it does mean that if you're not active on your social media forums, you're lopping yourself off at the knees. I mean, that's all there is to it. Your website can look great. You can have it optimized fine. But you look like somebody who doesn't care to the Google bot and to the other search engine bots. They're trying to find out, where can we find the best information online? And that's why we always encourage our clients. I mean, it's the way we do business. Tuesdays, Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, You want to have a new blog post up on your site, a new piece of information on your site that people can find. You establish yourself as a legitimate and reliable resource of information. I mean, isn't that what you want? I mean, think about it. Years ago, every man couldn't do this. But now, if you're willing to put the time into it, you can use your own website and your own blog forum as a means by which to show people not only how much you know, but that you're willing to help them. You have to be willing to give some free nuggets of information there. Those free nuggets of information will create interaction over time. It's not going to happen automatically. It's not probable that it will happen automatically. It's possible, because depending on what topics you hit on, you might get interaction on your blog post right off the bat. But I would rather err on the side of caution and tell you you're going to have to build it up over time. But the point is to get information out on your blog on a regular basis, and then use your social media forums to broadcast that information. Let people know that it's there. They have to be told that it's there. You can't count on people just stumbling across you on the internet. You have to put some effort out there, and there are legitimate means by which to do this. If you have a new blog post up on your website with some good legitimate information for people, you should be going on Facebook. You should be going on Google+. You should be going on LinkedIn. You should be going, whatever the forum is that you're using to communicate with people and interact with them socially, you should be using those forums to let people know, I've got a new piece of information for you here. You might want to check it out. And again, don't think that the whole world is waiting for your information, because they're not. They're not. The whole world's not waiting for my information. I mean, hell, this podcast right here, I've got to let people know that we're doing this. Because some people are going to look at it and think, oh, this is a cheesy marketing ploy. Other people are going to look at it and say, wow, this is kind of cool. I've got some questions. Let's see if they'll answer them. We have to build trust in what we're doing here. And I've always been a believer in leadership by example. And that's the whole reason that I even put that out there, because in us doing this, we have to do what we're telling you should be doing. It's that simple. So again, SEO is not a spectator sport. You want to be putting consistent, good, valuable information on your website. And if you want a barometer by which to measure this information you put on your website, ask yourself, every time you put up a blog post, ask yourself, if I came here, if I didn't know who my business was, and I came here and I read this post, would I walk away feeling like I had learned something? Going back to the Schoolhouse Rock reference, knowledge is power. And I know I'm aging myself here, or I'm dating myself, whatever term you want to use here. Yes, I'm going to be 47 next month, and I wear that like a badge. I grew up with Schoolhouse Rock. I wonder what's happened to it in modern society. And again, I'm sounding like an old man saying that, but I'm fine with that. Knowledge is power, people. And we are trying to be the Schoolhouse Rock of web design, web development, and SEO here. So remember, SEO is not a spectator sport. Yes, you have to optimize like you've always done, but it's not a matter of getting a bunch of keywords on your site. And you remember back in the old days, you had those black or white areas around the edges of your site. And some of us were curious enough to highlight those areas and see, oh, this looks like just a patch of white or a patch of black. But it's actually, there's a lot of black text or a lot of white text buried in there. And it's just a random bunch of keywords, some of which have nothing to do with the site, but the keywords are there, so they show up in different searches. That was the beginnings. Any of you that are chuckling right now, I'm sure some of you remember that. That was the beginning of all of these panda and penguin and hummingbird updates that we see now. That was the beginning of Google seeing, we got to do something about this. I've got a porn site showing up for hardware. We got to figure out something to do about this. So keep that in mind. I don't mean to sound ridiculous, but in some ways it is ridiculous. So over time, it's evolved to where Google and the major search engines, And I always start with Google because they do have the major portion of the search engine market, about 70%. They're thinking, you know, we got to find other ways to validate these websites to Googlebot. We're trying to deliver the best results we can. Of course, we all know that Google's also trying to monetize as much as they can. But at the end of the day, to have people using their search engine, they have to deliver the best results that they can for the search that you or I put in there. And it's not just a matter of on-site optimization anymore. And it's not just a matter of links anymore. People have abused both. Now, the thing is, both can't be discounted. You have to have good optimization on-site. You have to have good optimization off-site. You know, it's that simple. But what other factors can we put in there? Well, how much are you interacting with your potential audience, with your potential clients, with your target market? That's what social semantic web is all about. Don't ever forget, it ain't going backwards, it's only going forward. And if you're not interacting with people on social forums, then you're hurting yourself. You're hurting your own efforts, because it doesn't matter what else you do if you don't care enough to interact. If you've got a Facebook page or a Google Plus page that's been sitting there since last September and there's not a new post on there, Googlebot sees that and they see, this person's got a pretty cool website, but they sure as hell don't care. That's the truth of it. It is a bot. It is a program. But that bot and that program is set up with an algorithm to determine, A, how valid is the information on your website, B, how consistently do you update your website with new, valid, pertinent information, and C, how often do you interact with your client base or your potential client base, with your target market, whatever you want to call them. It all is factored in, and that, my friends, is what social semantic web is all about. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of things. One, what is black hat SEO? And two, what do you do if someone asks you to link to their website?
Chicks dig dudes with algorithmic integrity, and dudes dig chicks with social semantics, if you get my drift. Can you feel the cyber love? We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, this is Mark Boyd from the Mind Your SEO podcast. You know, there's no worse feeling than someone telling you how bad your website looks, how hard it is to navigate, how busy and amateurish the design is, how, like Bono, they still haven't found what they're looking for. Well, very few businesses know that feeling because people are nice and they won't tell you. They just won't stay on your site and they won't come back. And if there's a problem, you'll only know because your traffic is low. Many of you are making do with a website that you know fits this description, but you don't think you can afford something better. Wrong. Outasites from Mind Development and Design will give your site the sharp, clean, professional web presence you need. And you don't have to be a technical genius to put your own fresh content and blog posts on there, because it's WordPress and we'll show you how to use it. Seriously, we'll show you. Build your own contact forms with ease. Block spammers with a Kismet, probably the best filter there is. Get more love from Google with the Yoast SEO plugin and cutting-edge RDFA, something your competition probably doesn't know about but will by year's end. And before I forget, Outasites are responsive design. They'll look great on any device from PC to smartphones. Ditch those mobile sites, people. They're old news and Google doesn't like them. You want your website to look sharp like Joe Jackson, to navigate well like Lemmy, to get found like Rebecca Black, and to have responsive design so you get better response. Visit MindDevelopmentAndDesign.com or call 717-517-8383 and talk to one of our way cool, groovy, out of sight people to find out how to make your business out of sight.
Sometimes cheap is good, but isn't your website too important to trust to some cheap web host? Like a really great cup of fresh coffee, sometimes it's worth paying a few cents more. If you're tired of downtime and slow performance, it's time for a better web host. Fresh Roasted Hosting's accelerated web hosting means your pages load faster and can handle more traffic, while their virtual and dedicated servers mean you've got room to grow. Best of all, every hosting service is backed by 24-hour support and a 99.9% uptime SLA. And thanks to their Tier 2 data centers in Texas and Pennsylvania, Fresh Roasted Hosting delivers a full range of hosting solutions. Accelerated web hosting, domain names, private servers, even co-location services, they've got you covered. Your website is too important to trust to some cheap web host. Upgrade to Fresh Roasted Hosting today and use promo code FRESH2014 to save 10% on any new hosting service. Visit FreshRoastedHosting.com today. Terms and conditions apply. See FreshRoastedHosting.com for complete details.
If you have a question you want answered on a future podcast, visit MindDND.com/podcast and click on the Podcast Questions Ask Now button. We love your questions. Keep them coming.
Hey, welcome back to the Mind Your Business podcast. I'm Mark Boyd, and as promised before that commercial break, we're going to cover a couple things here having to do with links and Black Hat SEO. I'm going to start off with Black Hat SEO. And actually, both of these questions come from Diane in Bowie, Maryland, or Bowie, Maryland. I always say David Bowie. Some people say David Bowie. And then here's a town in Maryland that is spelled exactly like the man's last name. So Bowie, Maryland, Bowie, Maryland. I've heard both. Forgive me if I'm mispronouncing it there. But Diane, first of all, Black Hat SEO. This is something that really is not technical at all, because it goes back to the old Western movies. The good guy wears the white hat, the bad guy wears the black hat. Well, your good SEOs, which I consider myself amongst those, we try to use legitimate means to get you ranking. Now, here's the tough part of that for a lot of people. A lot of people, when they get into SEO, they're desperate. Oh, I want to get ranking. I want to rank number one. I want to be on the first page. I want to be number one. Everybody wants to be number one. Come on. Everybody wants to be number one. Everybody can't be number one in every search term. I mean, just think about the logistics of it. It is absolutely ludicrous. So that's the trap people fall into, though, because many of you listening have gotten these calls with people saying, hey, we partner with Google. We'll get you ranked number one for this term and that term. If you got your wits about you, and again, knowledge is power, and we're here to give you knowledge. Lots of times, these people are dealing with long-tail keywords, and that's a buzzword that's happened, that's happened over the last few years. Long-tail keywords. Long-tail keywords is a fancy way of saying a longer group of defining keywords, which could be, like, if you're a real estate agent, real estate, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Or to get more long tail, it could be new home real estate, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. The thing you need to know about long tail keywords is the longer those keywords get, the longer tail they get, the more keywords in any group, the more opportunity for people to misspell those words. And the truth of the matter is, just, hell, look on Facebook. Look on Facebook. There is your audience. Some people can spell, some people can't spell. We learn things that we don't want to know about people we've known for years on Facebook. And we learn that a lot of people can't spell. And I don't mean that in a cruel sense. I mean that in, it's true. A lot of people are not great spellers. So the more keywords you expect them to type into the search engine to find you, the less chance there is of them finding you. But great. Some black hat SEO can say, hey, you show up number one for real estate agents with red hair and they're 6'2" in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Yeah, somebody's really going to type that in. Thank you very much. Everybody wants to be number one. And even beyond that, everybody wants somebody they can trust with their SEO. And that's what burns me up most about black hat SEO, is it's taking advantage of trust. You want to see me blow my top, and anybody at the Mind office, anybody I work with can tell you. They've seen it. God bless them for putting up with it. But when I see somebody that's being taken advantage of, there's nothing that gets stuck in my craw worse than that, because this stuff is not rocket science. Black Hat SEO basically applies to any SEOs that are trying to game the system and not trying to work with the system. And the reason a lot of businesses find themselves working with Black Hat SEOs and maybe not realizing they're working with Black Hat SEOs because they get caught up in what they want to achieve. Black Hat SEOs are often the ones who tell you what you want to hear. You want to rank first in Google. Hey, great. I'll tell you, I'll get you ranked first in Google. You know, you want to know you're going to be number one. You want to know you're going to get this. You want to know you're going to get that. Well, as a Black Hat SEO, I'm going to tell you yes to all those questions, and I'm going to do everything I can to use smoke and mirrors to make you think you're getting that. But at the end of the day, are you getting traffic? Are you getting legitimate traffic, and are you truly building your online presence? And in most cases, the answer to that is no. Now, there are cases, I mean, to be brutally frank with you, there are cases where people employ Black Hat tactics, and they get away with them. You look at some of the largest websites online, Amazon.com, eBay, whatever. As an SEO, I can pick apart some of their titles. I can pick apart some of their descriptions. I can pick apart their meta keywords, for crying out loud. If you're using meta keywords on your website, stop it. Go in there and get rid of all of them. They're not doing you any good. Google has not indexed those in over 3 years, and the only reason some of the other search engines index them is to determine who's spam and who's not. Because it's common knowledge within the SEO community that meta keywords are worthless anymore. However, if you go to some of these top websites, you'll see some of them still have them there. Some of them have removed them. But some of them still have them, and you may be wondering, well, if they're doing it, why can't I do it? Here's why you can't do it. You haven't established trust with Google or the other search engines at this point. And that is a factor that can be used against you, those meta keywords. If you're a well-established website, and whether it's one of the aforementioned websites or whether it's one of your competitors who's had a website for 10 years, they've established themselves as a legitimate business. So if they're doing something that is a little outside the lines, like the meta keywords, they're going to be given a little bit of grace for that. They're going to be given the benefit of the doubt because, you know what? Yeah, they still have meta keywords on their site, but yeah, they've always had meta keywords even before we started working against those, even before we stopped indexing those. They still have them up there, but they've been around for a long time, and it's obvious from their other activity over those years that they are a legitimate site, and we trust them. And that's the thing. When you build trust with the search engines, you get a little bit of the benefit of the doubt there. So the thing to remember with Black Hat SEO, if somebody's telling you everything you want to hear, then you probably want to hang up the phone on them, or you probably want to ask them to leave your office, to put it bluntly. Because the truth of the matter is, when you get into SEO, if you are a company that is deciding today, hey, we want to focus on SEO and we want to get our site ranked, we want to improve the ranking of our site, look at it like this. You're in the New York Marathon. It's 26 miles. You're just now starting and your competition has a 13-mile advantage on you. Now you tell me, can you honestly make up that 13 miles without cheating? It doesn't mean it can't be done over time. And any of you that have been in sales in any way over the years, you've heard the cliche, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Well, that's true. And it's important to remember that in your SEO. It is a marathon and not a sprint. Don't get enamored with the people who are telling you what you want to hear. It's going to take you time to build up ranking. And any method that's going to get you ranking virtually overnight, you will lose that ranking virtually overnight. I can't tell you how many people have come to us to help them with SEO who have gone from making tens, if not hundreds of thousands in a month to making virtually nothing in a month. And by virtually nothing, I mean going from those totals to 500 or a grand in a month on their website. You can't run a business like that, but it truly can happen like that if you are taking the risk and going with an SEO that's promising you a little too much. And we've heard it for years. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. And that's a great rule of thumb to use when it comes to your SEO, because it is a process to get ranking. But if you're willing to be patient and you're willing to work with and not against the search engines, and get an SEO who is willing to tell you exactly how it is and let you know, hey, it's going to take some time to build this, but here's how it's going to work. And there are SEOs out there who will do it. If you find an SEO that is willing to be up front with you about that, or if you're doing it yourself, the important thing overall is to know that if you're jumping into the SEO arena, that you know it's going to take some time and it's not going to build overnight. Then finally, Diane also had a question about linking to a website. And this is interesting because this is another area that has been taken advantage of over the years. And really, if you've kept up with SEO at all, this is old news to you. But if you haven't, linking is not as big of a part of the equation as it used to be. It used to be that links coming into your website actually weighed more heavily in the SEO equation than your actual on-site SEO. That always bothered me. I thought that was always ass backwards, because your on-site optimization should be the foundation of you getting found online. And fortunately, that's the way it is now. However, a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that linking isn't important. Linking will always be important. And I mentioned at the top of the show that Matt Cutts, in several videos, has acknowledged that at the end of the day, Google can't truly determine the value of a page without factoring linking in some way, shape, or form. And again, linking is not as important as it used to be, but there has to be some kind of barometer there to determine, are people reading this post? Is this information reaching people? And are people responding to it? And as far as linking goes, are people linking to it? Are people reading to this and thinking, hey, I want to share this with people? And sharing is the big deal. Are people sharing your information? In the beginning, they're not going to be. In the beginning, when you start putting information on your site, as again we talked about at the top of the show, when you're putting information on your blog, you can't expect that the first time you put information on your blog, there's going to be a bazillion people that are going to read it and say, oh, this is just the greatest, I'm going to share this with everybody I know. No, you have to build that readership and build that trust over time. And truly, the best way to get linking anymore, and the only way to build links, is through content. You write information that you can offer to another website or another blog, relevant information with regard to what you do and what that blog site is about, and contact them and say, hey, I've got this information. Would you consider publishing this as a guest post on your blog? Now, again, there are people who are trying to abuse this, and that's been well documented with the Hummingbird update some months back and all. I mean, Google's on to this. One thing to remember, anything that you can think of, any idea that you can think of on how to game the system, Google has probably already thought about it, and they've already got their spam team working on a way to combat it. So don't try to get too clever with this. Just be honest and think, okay, I've got a good piece of information here. I wrote this nice article. First of all, ask yourself, why am I not putting this article on my website? Because you want people to get that information from you. If you are regularly posting information on your website and you're not cutting yourself off at the knees, then have some of these posts that you offer to other websites. And if they like your post, they will link back to you. In most cases, you'll get an authorship link, which there's a lot of crap going on with authorship. People are talking about how the Google authorship pictures are not showing up in the search engine results. One day they are, one day they're not. I was on today, I saw numerous authorship pictures up there. So it's a work in progress. Don't abandon it. Link to your Google Plus profile for authorship, and because you're better off erring on the side of caution there. And then have a link to your website in your byline. If you provide good content to that website that you're contacting, if you provide good content and they accept it, that's a great link. Scrutinize the websites that you offer content to. You want to make sure that you can look at that website and that you don't have questions about it. It's pretty obvious when you look at a website. Is this a legitimate website? Look at their blog. If they're consistently posting on their blog and it's more than just reposting of newspaper stories, if there are actually some opinion posts, they're actually interjecting their own information in there, that's probably the kind of website or blog that you would like to get a link from, because they're active. The search engine bots are going to see that they're active. And if you're associated with those sites, that's a good thing. Again, it's not the keys to the kingdom, but it's a piece of the puzzle. And when it comes to linking, somebody linking to your site, you linking to their site, put thought into it. You don't want to go crazy like people used to do with having a links page where you've got a page where you're just linking to whatever site. Google sees that reciprocal linking. Google sees all that stuff. There has to be effort, time, and thought put behind it. And the best way to do that is through offering information. If you are offering a blog post to another website, tell them, hey, if you'd like to post something on my site, please feel free to submit an article to me. I'd be happy to link back to your site. The thing is, you got to be careful with that, because you don't want it to turn into a reciprocal linking thing out of obligation. It has to be legitimate. People have to want to link to your site. Why do they want to link to your site? Because you're giving them something of value. Not money. Don't buy links. Information. And likewise, if you're linking to their site, they should be giving you something of value. Again, not money, but information that you can share. And in doing that, you build the value of each other's sites. You lift each other up. It becomes a big feel-good, emotional kind of thing. Crazy as it sounds, when you really look at it and you look at the long term, your intentions are actually being converted into an algorithm. And before I sound any crazier, I'm going to say thank you for tuning into this week's Mind Your Business podcast. I look forward to talking with you again next week. I hope you walk away from this and feel like you've learned something. If you haven't, by all means, and even if you have and you just want to add to the festivities, click on that gorgeous button that Chad McComsey so eloquently designed over on the right-hand side, and it does look cool. It says, ask a question. Click on there and submit whatever your question is, web design, web development, SEO, whatever it is that has to do with your business online, social interaction, whatever it is, submit it to us. That's what we're doing here. And next week, I'm hoping to be able to coerce Dave Zimmerman, lead developer and co-founder of Mind, and Chad McComsey, lead designer and co-founder of Mind, to come in and talk a little bit of development and design questions. And I can guarantee you it will be worth your time.
From the Minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.